This is Dr. William R. Glaze, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. As the founder and CEO of Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I'm grateful that you are listening to us. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive their choice of either an Anchored in Jesus coffee mug or Anchored in Jesus t-shirt. The promotion will run now through Friday, November 24th. At the end of the promotion, we will have a drawing and randomly two names. Each of these two individuals will receive a basket of Anchored in Jesus merchandise, including one of my books entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we'd love to hear your thoughts about our program. Please go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of a stress-free economy, Dr. Glaze, of a stress-free economy.
Some are dealing with being overwhelmed because they've lost their job, right? I know people that last year had a job, this year they don't have a job. But because they were in God's economy, God took care of them. Yeah, God took care of them. Some people are dealing with escalating debt, and they feel the stress of that escalating debt. And some are dealing with unexpected expenses, things that you didn't plan on having to purchase. And see, the good thing about being in God's economy, number one, God knows if you're going to lose your job. Number two, God knows if something is going to break down that you don't even know about. He already knows about it. It didn't take, you know, when your washing machine broke down, when your car broke down, it didn't take God by surprise. God wasn't sitting up and, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was going to happen. God knew that it was happening. So we see that there is stress in this world's economy. But notice the things that are covered in God's economy. God's economy, God says this, that in verse 25, he will take care of food. In verse 25, he says he'll take care of your drink. Now, we're not talking about the spirited drinks, right? We're talking about drinks that sustain you, sustain your body, right? He said in verse 27, things that sustain your life, that he will provide for you. What do you need to sustain your life? God says that I will provide that for you. And in verse 28, he says that he will take care of our clothing. You know, I think of the Israelites, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. And the Bible says in those 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out, neither did their clothes wear out. 40 years. I know I've had shoes that, you know, after 1 year or 2 years, you know, they start, you know, I start walking on the sides of them, right? Because the outside is worn out, man. You walking on the side of them. I remember one time when I was in seminary, I had one pair of dress shoes, and they actually wore a hole in the bottom. And I had to put a piece of cardboard in the bottom of the shoe, right? God took care of the Israelites in the wilderness. 40 years, he kept their shoes from wearing out. That's when you're in his economy. You're in the world's economy, you got to foot the bill. You got to pay for these things. But if you're in God's economy, he will provide what you need. Let me share with you three things today in God's economy. Three things about being in God's economy. All right? that absolutely takes the stress out of it. The first thing is this. In God's economy, stress and worry are not options. Let that sink in. In God's economy, stress and worry are not options. Look what he says in verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious," or "don't worry." Now, this word in the Greek language is in the imperative mood. And we know that the imperative means that it's a command. You know, this is not a suggestion. This is not something that that Jesus is saying, well, you know, take this into consideration. You know, why don't you think about this? No, this is in the imperative mood. And you know what it means? Basically, it means if you are worrying, stop. And if you are not worrying, don't start. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, this is worry, that when you're in God's economy, worry is not an option. Now, let me further elucidate this by sharing with you the words of a commentator, William Barclay. Some of you may have his commentary, William Barclay. And this is what he says of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. He says, "It is not ordinary prudent foresight, such as becomes a man, that Jesus forbids." Let me read that again. "It is not ordinary prudent foresight, such as becomes a man, that Jesus forbid. It is worry." It is worry. He's saying that for you to sit down and plan, for you to sit down and think about, you know, I owe this bill, I owe that bill, I got to pay this, and for you to be responsible and take responsibility in paying these things, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about worrying. Jesus is not advocating a shiftless, thriftless, reckless, thoughtless, improvident attitude to life. He is forbidding a careworn, worried field which takes all the joy out of life. In other words, and say something, I said it from this pulpit before, I'm going to say it again, and that is, worrying is a sin. It's a sin. I mean, you know, I can't help it. You know, I just, you know, if I have things, financial issues, then, you know, I have a tendency to think about the, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're sinning. That, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. Right? The next time you begin to worry, and you know, sometimes we want to think, well, you know, that's an emotion that, you know, I can't control. It's something that comes up, and, you know, I just can't overcome it. And, you know, God understands that. Wait one minute. You gonna sit there and tell me that God, who is the one who is providing for you and says that I'll take care of all your needs, and that you start worrying, you gonna tell me that God is all right with that? Again, this is not scripture, right? But the song, "Great is thy faithfulness." All that I, you know, this is supported by scripture though. "All that I needed, thy hand hath provided." If what I have, God has provided, and I'm in a state of worrying, then what does that say to God? God, you're not meeting my need the way that I think you should meet it. My brothers and sisters, that's not pleasing to the Lord. If we are worrying about our finances, again, We need to be responsible. We need to be concerned. We need to be wise. We need to take care. So I'm saying all that. But one thing God did not tell us to do was the word. God says, I got that. God says, I got you. I got you. Now, you know, sometimes we have to contextualize things because we live in America and there are people around the world that are starving. There are people around the world that are homeless, right? And well, what about them? Well, I'm going to tell you this, that God got them too. God, you should read the testimonies of people that have been persecuted and how they continue to trust God with their lives. You know, just read, you know, so Torture for Christ. You know, read books that deal with Christians who are being persecuted around the world. And their food is cut off. They are taken from their home. And yet still they trust God. Here we live in America, the land of abundance. If we can't go buy our latte at Starbucks, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? That means I got to go buy Sunoco and buy it. Right? So worry is when you worry about financial things. Now again, maybe some of the reasons why people worry is because they haven't been financially responsible. You've been irresponsible. And you got into a position because of your own doing. But I'm saying this, that if you've been faithful, let me go back and use a saying from the hood, if you've handled your business, right? If you've handled your business, God got you. God got you. And God says, look, in case you think I'm joking, God says, look at my faithfulness to the birds. Look at my faithfulness to the birds. He said in verse 26, behold the fowl of the air. That word behold means to look at with the mind. That's the technical meaning, to look at with your mind. So in other words, what does that mean? Meditate on the birds. He said, unless you think I'm joking about me taking care of you, all you have to do is look at nature and look at the birds of the air. Yeah, I like in some churches when the pastor, I'm not a hooping pastor, so, you know, I don't necessarily get this response, right? But I you know, if pastors are hooping and they got something to hoop about, I don't have a problem with it. You know, and sometimes when the pastors get up and they start hooping, right? And if there's a bunch of preachers in the audience, what do? They stand up, and what do? Right? They stand up. And what do they mean? They're meditating on what this brother is saying or sister is saying. Right? They're focusing in on what they're saying. They're letting it absorb. You preaching. Man, you preaching. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, unless you doubt my ability to take care of you, look at the birds. Meditate on the birds. I got them. I'm taking care of the birds. As a matter of fact, look what he says here. He says, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? As I said, as I was reading the scripture, of no animal does it say that they were created in the image of God? If you go back and read the book of Genesis, they were created after their kind. After their kind. After their kind. It says that over and over again. After their kind. But it says of Adam and Eve, let us create them in our image. And if God is taking care of the birds, are you not much better than they? If you go to that next slide. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, it must be that they have no heavenly father, such as care for you and me. Oh my goodness. The birds have a conversation. Look at these folk. Look at these human beings. Why are they so anxious about things? Why are they running around? You know why? Because they're not on God's economy. Right? And then they summarized in the next phrase, God's economy. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, it must be that they, now look, I'm gonna rhyme this one, right? Friend, it must be they are not in God's economy. Woo! I'm a poet and I know it and my big feet show it. Friend, it must be they are not on God. They are not on God's economy, right? The second thing that I want to say, in God's economy, we take responsibility for our part and we transfer the worrying over to Him. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not arrayed or not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, you've got to put your faith in God. You got to trust God, right? I shared the testimony before when I went to Lynchburg, Virginia, right? Almost dead broke. I remember I saw first person, Alan McFarland, one of my best friends to the day. And I remember I asked him, I said, man, is it hard to get a job here in Lynchburg? I know I shared this with you, right? He said, if your heart is right with God, it's not a problem. What was he saying? He was saying, if you're on God's economy, it's not a problem. God got you covered. All you got to do is have faith in Him, and you got to trust Him, and you got to do your part and just leave the worrying over to the Lord. There was a widow. She raised 6 children of her own, and she adopted 12 kids. And somebody asked her, how did you do it? And she said, I'm in a partnership. And they said, partnership? What do you mean by that? She said, many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work and I'll let you do the worrying. Lord, I'll do the work and I'll let you do the worrying. There's an old Jewish saying that says, don't worry for tomorrow's evils, for you know not what today will bring. Perhaps you will not be alive and you will have worried for a world which is not yours. Lady stayed up all night, couldn't sleep, worrying about this, worrying about that. God appeared to her and God said, hey, it's all right. You can go to sleep now. I got this. I got this. Turn the worrying over to God. Matthew 6:27, can any one of you add a moment to his life by worrying about it? Stop worrying. In God's economy, stop worrying. Somebody said worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Think about it. In all the worrying that you've ever done, where has it got you? Probably turned a couple more hairs gray, right? Probably stressed another nerve. Probably put you closer to having a heart attack, right? I mean, any movement that you can get from work, it's all negative. Worrying does absolutely nothing. And so it's best for you to do your part. Do everything that you're supposed to do. Work, pay your bills, provide, do everything that you're supposed to do, and then leave the rest up to God. Which leads me to my last point, and that is this. In God's economy, when we put him first, he provides what we need. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? What things? What are you talking about? Go to that next slide. What are you talking about? He already told us what he was talking about. Food, drink, things that sustain your life, and clothing. All these things will be taken care of. In God's economy, when you put him first, that you put him first by spending time with him, giving him his due. You spend time by him. We spent a whole message last week. If you weren't here, you go back and get that message on stewardship. What does it mean to be a steward? Right? That if you are a steward, you are putting God first. You remember I said, the sinner says everything that I have belongs to me. God gets zero. The saint says, I give God 10%. And the steward says what? It all belongs to God. It all belongs to him. And I'm just a manager. I'm just a manager. When we put God first, he takes care of all that. He takes care of, you know, again, either this is one of these verses that we just go ahead and cut out of the Bible, right? And say, well, you know, there's a lot of hype around that verse, but there's no substance. Or this verse is reality and is indicative of what it means to put God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I conclude the message today by reading verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the world's economy. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. That's God's economy.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Flourish in God's Economy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Stress-Free Economy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Stress-Free Economy. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Stress, or call 831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Economy, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.